Oh, unexpected stroke, worse than death. When Milton's Eve learns that she and Adam are to be uprooted from the garden, she not only cries out that it is a fate worse than death, but in a surprising turn of events, she looks not to God's messenger, Michael, for further confirmation, but instead directly questions the garden itself. Must I leave thee, Paradise? This is one of the few occasions in Paradise Lost where the earth is addressed. Though earlier, after surveying hill and valley, rivers, woods and plains, rocks, dens and caves, a bitter Satan remarked to the earth, "But I in none of these find place of refuge." In contrast to Satan, who surveyed the entire earth to find his place, Eve's attention next drops to where she is particularly placed, the very earth beneath her feet, to which she echoes her question in disbelief. "Thus leave thee, native soil?" Satan searched the whole of the earth in vain for what has been lost by Eve, which has been right under her feet all along. Place. Now the Paradise Lost. In Milton, Paradise is lost as a dualistic theologian in devil's clothing momentarily dupes Eve, the genius of the garden, into believing that she should uproot herself from her place on earth. Like some great tree which had simply reached too high for its roots in earth to support it, Eve falls and she leaves a massive open wound in the earth in that way. With this extraordinary, though entirely plausible, interpretation of the biblical fall, Milton delivers Christianity to the fold of environmentalists who hold that our own foolish acts have brought ecological devastation to the earth. But Milton goes further in suggesting that this foolish uprooting of ourselves from our place on earth was the pivotal human act and the source of our current sorrow. However, because the wound is the site of the separation, humanity's greatest opportunity to renew a precious bond we once had with the earth, is to allow ourselves to feel this shared wound at once for ourselves and for the earth. As Milton puts it, earth felt the wound at once for herself and for humanity. To act ethically, then, for Milton, is to be in the habit of the place we dwell. For just a moment, Milton's Eve, the poet's shining paradigm of ethical behavior, who should be an ecological exemplar for all of us, is tempted to uproot herself from her place on earth. In many respects, the epic Paradise Lost is an answer to a simple, though rarely asked question. How does one consider the allegory of the fall, which introduces the Judeo-Christian ethos, without pondering our own place on the earth? Ken Hiltner asks many questions in his study, Milton and Ecology, questions like that, fundamental questions. Tanis Kowalczyk has been asking in her life and her work at Willow Wisp Farm in Damascus questions that are fundamental to all of us. In founding the Farm Arts Collective, she has brought her immense gifts as an actor, playwright, and director into the service of her deep understanding of the ties we have to earth and the fruit of the earth, to our communities, and also about our responsibilities in this regard. Each year, she and her troupe create and present a major work in the Dream on the Farm series, while she showcases her one-person pieces like Decompositions that we have a chance to experience on April 11th in Scranton. Tanis Kowalczyk paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk about all the ties she has to her farm, to her art, to her community, and to the work that we all can do.
We are located in Damascus, Pennsylvania, and it's right on the river, the beautiful Delaware River, where we have our farm. My husband and I have a 25-acre organic vegetable and flower and herb farm, and as a longtime theater maker in my community, I decided to start a practice of making theater on the farm, along with all of the other products and produce we're making. I decided to start making some productions on the farm as well. So we're really interested with the founding of Farm Arts Collective in 2018, creating a kind of intersection where farming, art, food, and ecology can meet and influence each other. We're interested in themes of certainly ecology and climate change and justice and eco-justice in the work we're making. And of course, the farm itself represents that kind of more healthy farming and sustainable farming practice. And so we're inviting our community at Farm Arts Collective to come and taste and see and participate in all of this kind of activity that is really looking at how to make our lives better, how do we stay healthier through being creative, being healthy, growing healthy food, and taking care of the planet. It's all about that kind of like well-being, you know, and like working together towards that. Since I started Farm Arts Collective in 2018, I've also been developing a nice circle of collaborators who are artists and musicians, actors, dancers, and non-trained actors who have now become actors by doing the work now the last, you know, six, seven years, people who are just brilliant performers, but also creators, because the way we work is we create our plays from scratch. You know, it's called devised theater or collaborative theater making. And so it's like a really, really robust place. And the final thing I guess I could say about Farm Arts Collective is that we have a new space that we built last year and that we are now inhabiting. And this winter, we had our first winter of being able to stay open and have workshops and certain events. And it was just really amazing to have this space. Yesterday, I set up the space, the barn space, where we have our education classes and our performances. And I placed all these old shoes that I had gotten from a previous performance that I made at NACL, which was a theater I was working at for a really long time, helped found, in fact. And they just gave me a whole bunch of the old shoes I had from one of our productions of Courage. And I was like, oh, yeah, these shoes are so beautiful. They had a sense of history, you know? And I just laid them out in the space. And I think that's how I want to designate the space for our upcoming Dream on the Farm show. And one of the farmers today, I was doing some work in the greenhouse today, and he was asking me about the shoes. What is that? And I just like, oh, it's, I just suddenly had this wonderful conversation in the greenhouse with, you know, one of the farmers who've been working with us for 15 years about the idea for my show this year. And so now I know he's going to be thinking about it, and I bet you he'll have a few comments to make.
And as you arrived, you explained that it was the beginning of Dream last evening, right?
Correct, yes. We had our first gathering of people who are interested in working on and creating the 2025 Dream on the Farm. We're making one play every year from 2020 to 2030. On the subject of climate change. It's a community effort. People in the community are joining the production, and we have musicians. I mentioned, you know, actors, a lot of writers, farmers, people who want to tell the story, a new story this year on the subject of climate change and eco-justice.
In setting out before everyone and inviting people to contribute, you give a framework, though, or a theme that will point the direction of this particular offering, as you've done each year.
Correct. I make a proposal. I make a storyline proposal every year. And I always think, how am I going to come up with it? But then it always comes. So this year, the story is strange. It's just kind of a surprise, I think, to some people. It's called Paradise Lost Scavenger Hunt. And I was reading this book by Olivia Lang about her restoring her garden during COVID. She's a British writer. And she kept referring to Paradise Lost as she was talking about the restoration of this very ancient garden that she had the opportunity to restore. And I kept, the word Paradise Lost, that phrase, that idea. I mean, I understood more or less what Paradise Lost was. I knew it was a Milton piece about Adam and Eve and an epic poem. John Milton, 1600s, writer from England. And so I picked it up and I read it and I could barely get through it. It's really dense. It's just like a little, it's just not, that's not, it's hard. Let's just say it's hard. And so I kept going with this idea and I kept contemplating how we have lost a paradise. Like Adam and Eve, we too are living in this place where we're struggling with keeping our environment healthy, finding food, there's disease, there's wars, there's like everything that the Archangel Michael showed Adam is happening to us today. So the question I want to ask in this performance is, how do we live in a lost paradise? And what have we lost? What do we want to reclaim? And how do we keep living with responsibility and in a way in redemption? And so that's what we're exploring. Those are the themes we're exploring. And as I continue to think more and more about the story of Genesis and when Adam and Eve eat the apple and go against the authority of God, and it's not an apple actually in the Bible, it's the fruit. They have this choice, and it's Eve who's the curious one. And so I'm starting to explore this character of Eve, and Eve is curious, and Eve is thinking about the world and about enlightenment. And that's something I'm really interested in exploring in this performance, as well as, like, when do we decide to go against authority to follow our own curiosity or our own desire for knowledge and a belief we might have? And that's something I'm very interested in exploring in this current time that we're in. You know, if you have this curiosity, follow it and be brave and have that courage to maybe, even if it goes against authority, maybe it's worth it for yourself.
For the people who have expressed interest in taking part, Tanis, how do you draw them out with their thoughts, for example, about Adam and Eve?
Well, we just started our conversation last night, and we've come up with some really interesting ideas. I mean, the concept that I have is a very fun theatrical concept where we're going to just be introduced to the story. Everyone knows the Adam and Eve story in some form. How I'm going to present it is in, if you're ready for this, Erica, it's a traditional no theater style of performance, Japanese ancient theater style, where the actors move with very decided physical qualities, and there's a whole band of drummers and singers who narrate. So my composer, Doug, he's been creating a lot of narration using the Milton text with original music, and we're going to build this incredible soundscape to tell the story of Genesis and the fall and the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. And we're going to tell it in about 30 minutes in this very succinct no theater style. Then Adam takes one group of audience members, Eve takes another group of audience members, and they go out into the farm. And there are going to be about 9 stations where they go to a scavenger hunt station. And they're on a scavenger hunt. And they go visit. And at each station, one of the community members is going to be making this proposal and this experience for the audience, for the scavenger hunters, to experience something about paradise, about nature, about our separation from nature, about ecology, about rebellion, maybe all anything. You know, so that's how we're starting to develop that material.
Is there a particular tree on the farm that you would look at and say, if we get to this point, we might look over our shoulder at the tree of knowledge in the garden? Do you have trees like that?
There's actually one tree that I think I would use. You just gave me this idea, Erica. It's a tree that's outside the farm gates, actually, and it's dead. And I think maybe Well, that will be the halfway point in the scavenger hunt. Yes, because then we can talk about the ecological issue that we are all facing. So the answer is yes.
What's the target date? Do you do it in August?
The target date is July 24th for 1 week, like a weekend, a Thursday to Sunday, and then the following weekend, which will take us to August 3rd.
The other thing is that in addition to doing these group projects, you yourself are a playwright and you create pieces for yourself to present. And there's one that we have a chance to experience very shortly.
Yes, I am so thrilled to be invited and to bring my solo theater performance. It's called Decompositions, and it's a piece that I indeed have written and perform. It's a one-act, 60-minute performance, myself and a compost pile. Talk about bringing the farm to the theater and vice versa. So, yes, I perform with about 100 pounds of compost in the center stage. It gets center stage, not me. And talk about how the composting process is a real metaphor and reflection of our physical and spiritual and mental lives as well, that we are always tossing experiences and things and our even ourselves into a compost pile that gets transformed. We face illness, we face physical challenges, we face mental challenges, and that there's always this like kind of transformation in the form of our lives, like in the compost pile, where things are always decomposing, but also humus is always composing. And so we as a human are very much like that compost pile, where we're letting go, but we're also building up, always at the same time. And isn't that incredible? And isn't that a really fun way to kind of reflect on one's life, is using the metaphor of compost?
When you're creating a piece and it is for presentation, is it presentational in the sense that we, the people viewing it, you are in dialogue with us, you're addressing us?
Exactly. This one is definitely, the fourth wall is down. At one point, I'll serve some audience members some tea. Definitely, it's a direct address. It's storytelling. It's talking about my life and sharing life and I'm talking about farming, talking about being an artist, talking about being a mother, talking about being a daughter, talking about being sick, talk about some cancer. I had some breast cancer, and talking about that, and you know, just like really trying to wrap life and survival and fight and enjoyment all up into some stories. And each story is a decomposition. You know, like I talk about how Gertrude Stein created an essay called Composition as Explanation. And so I say in the performance, well, what about decomposition as explanation? Because I want to decompose my life so I can really see it and rebuild it up again. And so that's sort of the thing I do. So every decomposition is a chapter, like a composition, but a decomposition. It's a chapter, and each chapter is named a different title. And it's written on a crop marker. You know, the crop markers you'd put in your garden, like radishes, tomatoes. Well, every crop marker has a name of my chapter, my decomposition, and I stick it in the compost pile, and then I carry on with it.
So there is action and movement in this way.
Oh, yes. I'm a trained physical theater performer, so I can't help but move and jump and dance and kind of bring it into the body. It's just my style.
Do you sing?
Yes. And I play my accordion as well. And I talk about how I had this moment in my life where it was impossible to feel in my left hand. And I talk about that. And yeah, so try to sing and play accordion with my, you know, bad hand. And talk about all of that.
We couldn't help but feel intimately involved with these chapters of the overall story. And you leave us, we hope, with the sense that we can do this too. We can look at our lives in a way where we look at the calendar and we think we're aging and it's not over.
Right. I mean, aging is also another theme of it, right? Because ultimately that's when our bodies are starting to just change and do things we don't want them to do necessarily. And yeah, aging is a big part of the theme as well. And yes, exactly what you say, you know, to impart this kind of humor, like let's have a little bit of humor, let's laugh a little bit at ourselves, and at the same time just embrace it and say it's going to be okay. And even though we still hate how our hands look, these aren't my hands, these are my mother's hands. What are these hands doing driving this car? You know, those questions. We still have to love ourselves and like carry on and know that it's just part of life. And we've all, you know, everyone's gone from zero to 100 and someplace in between. And it's just part of living. And let's all do it with grace and as much confidence and elegance as this compost pile.
Where will you do this?
I am so excited to return to one of my favorite places in Scranton, the Greenhouse Project. They're right beside Naog Park, and they're just this incredible organization that's operating out of a greenhouse in the park, and it's run by Jane Rissy, who's a visionary, a friend now. I reached out when I said, what? Someone else is doing projects in a greenhouse? So I reached out a couple years now, like 3-4 years ago, and have made such a great friendship with her and her board members. And we're going to be coming to the Greenhouse Project with Decompositions on Friday, April 11th, and the show time is 7 p.m.
You strike me as someone who would have fun with costuming. You must play with colors and things, do you?
I do. There's some fun costumes in the show. I'm actually not going to give it away because I want to kind of make it a surprise. But you're asking me about the costume, Erica. I actually really struggled with the costume for this show. The show's been around now a couple years, 2 years. I've been performing it and it's been really evolving like a compost pile. And I could not figure out what to wear. I've tried a million different costumes for this, like a real farming outfit, a real black dress, elegant black dress. And I've come down to a really simple pair of black overalls that I just love because I think this is so close to me that usually costumes are like one of the first things that help me define that character that I will play. But it's been so just me that I haven't had the freedom to choose the right thing. So literally, I feel like I've been standing in front of my proverbial closet for the last 2 years trying to figure out what to wear for this party or this show. And I think I finally settled on something that feels the right thing, which is a simple T-shirt and a black pair of overalls. Yeah.
The compost pile is elemental and everything you're talking about is elemental. But isn't that the fundamentals of theater? It's a person speaking to an audience. It's the person, the actor, and the audience.
Yes. I mean, I'm going to be performing this on the floor of a greenhouse, an actual greenhouse. And the sun is going to maybe be setting at 7 o'clock. We'll bring in maybe one or two lights we'll put up so everyone can see me perform. But it is ancient storytelling, the oldest type of theater. It could be one person there and me, and it would still be theater. You know, it's just that simple. And also, you know, like going back to the themes, also just talking about mortality, talking about the end of life. I talk about that a little bit, you know, like where do we go when we go? That's a question I ask. And those kinds of questions and themes are as ancient and as part of our stories of mortality and the afterlife. And, you know, these are big themes that we're addressing. And the theater's one of the most ancient and simple forms to ask these questions.
And we're welcome throughout the season to come to performances and workshops. Where do we find information? Because you're always hosting something.
Correct. We have some tours and classes where people can just get a full-on experience of the farm, just pure farming. Then we have Dream on the Farm, of course, where you can get a mix of both the farm and a walk around the farm, and then everything in between. So there's a big season that we've got planned. More is getting added to the calendar, but we did just send in our brochure to the printers, so it's going to come out soon. People will get it in the mail. But if you want to go online, it's farmartscollective.org, and you can find all our programs. And if people want to do private tours or they want to come for a visit, yeah, we can organize that too. We're really open to that. But there's a lot of cool things that they can hook into as well.
And you all are such great cooks. You have wonderful soup sessions and all kinds of wonderful ways to use this bounty.
Yeah, we enjoy having tastings, a lot of different events and workshops and performances. People can really taste the food that's being grown. It's kind of part of the experience, you know, of what coming to Farm Arts Collective and Will-O-Wisp is about. I mean, eat the food too. Try it.
As long as it isn't a fruit from the tree of knowledge. But that remains to be seen.
It does.
And we'll see about the fruit from the tree of knowledge in the big production that will be produced by the Farm Arts Collective in July and August on Will-O-Wisp Farm in Damascus. We spoke with Tanis Kowalczyk, actor, playwright, director, farmer, and she is the founding artistic director of the Farm Arts Collective. She will perform a solo work titled Decompositions, and that performance will take place April 11th at 7. The doors open at 7 for refreshments, and the release tells us the show gets underway at 7:30. The Greenhouse Project is located at 200 Arthur Avenue in Scranton. And it is a song-filled monologue exploring decomposition as a metaphor for life. For more information, on the web, farmartscollective.org, Farm Arts Collective. That's Decompositions, written and performed by Tanis Kowalczyk, and she is founding artistic director of Farm Arts Collective, located at Will-O-Wisp Farm Organic Farm, in Damascus, Pennsylvania, and you can experience this performance April 11th, and that's at 7:30 p.m. The doors open at 7 for refreshments, and it's at the Greenhouse Project at 200 Arthur Avenue in Scranton. For more information, on the web, farmartscollective.org. Support for Decompositions at the Greenhouse Project comes from the Lackawanna County Arts and Culture Department.